The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome to worship on this first Sunday of Advent as we gather to prepare our hearts and minds for the Christmas season. We do so by reminding ourselves of Jesus' second coming. As we gather this morning, there are a number of announcements in your bulletin. Please take note of those meetings and events that are happening this week in the life of the church and also that are coming up during this season, especially next Sunday when we will finish decorating the church for the holiday season with the hanging of the greens. There is a sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall if you will be staying. We're having a soup luncheon and other items, but please take a moment and sign up in the fellowship hall if you have not done so already for next Sunday. Also, last Sunday you were invited to bring your commitment cards for 2020 if you were not here or if you didn't have one. There are still cards available in the back of the church and in the fellowship hall, and you can return those to the church office or put them in the offering plate if you would like. There's also information about poinsettias for this season. You can find that in your bulletin, as well as information about the deacons who will be packing cookies next Sunday during the hanging of the greens. So if you're not feeling up to decorating or hanging a green, you can help with packing cookies as well for the truck stop ministry. Also, there's information about the summer program for youth and their angel program, their angel program that is happening as always during this Advent season. There is also in your bulletin a green insert, a green card. This is the 2019 Advent Prayer Partner Form. If you would like to have a prayer partner during Advent, just put your name, fill in this form. During the first hymn, the ushers are going to come around with baskets. You can throw this in the basket, and then after worship, as you leave, there'll be somebody, an usher at the back door and an usher here at this door, and just take a form. Make sure you're not taking your own form, and then you can pray for that person, maybe send them a card or something during the Advent season, just as a way of praying for one another and praying together as a congregation during this Advent time. This is the day that the Lord has made as we rejoice together and be glad in it, and as we light the first candle on the Advent wreath.
The Gospel of John proclaims Christ is the true light that has come into this world. As we prepare to celebrate that coming, we light candles for the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas and reflect on the once and future coming of Christ.
It is significant that the church has always used that language, the coming of Christ, because it speaks to a deep truth. Christ is coming. Christ is always coming, always entering this troubled world and our wounded hearts.
And so we light the first candle, the candle of hope, and dare to express our longing for peace, for healing, and the well-being of all creation.
Let us pray. Loving God, as we enter this Advent season, help us to open all the dark places in our lives and memories to the healing light of Christ. Show us the creative power of hope. Prepare our hearts to be transformed by you, that we may walk in the light of Christ. Amen.
Please stand as we worship God together. Come, all who seek truth, let us go up to the Lord's house, that we might learn holy ways and follow right paths. Come, all nations and all peoples, stream through open gates, that we might gather in the hallways of justice, the courts of peace. Come, children of God, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
With hope in our hearts, let us worship God.
To forgive than we are to pray and to confess. In penitence and in faith, therefore, let us go to God as we pray together. Almighty God, you set before us the way of goodness and beckon us to follow you, but we disregard your teachings, your word. You call people of every land to dwell in harmony, but we sow division and harvest discord. You command us to craft tools that sustain life, but we cling to weapons that damage and destroy. Forgive us, Lord. Your creation yearns for wholeness. We, your people, long to be made new in Christ. Keep us ever watchful and awaken us to your ways
as we wait in hope.
Light of the world. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone. Behold, a new life is begun. Hear and believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning.
Just as God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus, let us also forgive one another and offer signs of peace and reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you. As God's people, forgiven, loved, and freed, we gratefully turn our hearts and minds, our attention to God's word as we hear it read and proclaimed. Let us pray together for the Spirit's illumination. Holy God, our hope and strength, by the power of your Spirit, prepare the way in our hearts for the coming of your word, so that we may see the glorious signs of your promise fulfilled through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for this morning is taken from the second chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 5. This can be found on page 631 of the Old Testament portion of the Pew Bible. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." This is the word of the God.
Thanks be to God.
second lesson this morning is taken from Matthew's Gospel, the 24th chapter, beginning at verse 36 and continuing to verse 44. Jesus is teaching about the necessity of being watchful and awake, preparing for his return. Listen again to God's word. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Every year at this time, I find myself surprised by just how quickly the beginning of Advent sneaks up on us. Seems like Halloween was only a few days ago, and I would dare say that most of us still have a few Thanksgiving leftovers in the refrigerator. Time has a way of sneaking up on us. That's one of the lessons that we find in this morning's readings from Isaiah and from Matthew. In Matthew, Jesus is talking about the day of his return. He's teaching his disciples what that day will be like when he comes back to judge the nations in righteousness. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, Jesus says. He doesn't even know when he will be coming back, but only the Father. You see, Christ's return isn't something that we can put on the calendar. It's not something we can write in big black letters and try to schedule our dentist appointments and oil changes and soccer practices around, hoping that there won't be a conflict of some sort. That's not how Christ's return will work. The days are coming, says the Lord, but not even Jesus knows when that day will come. And so that's where we find the tension of Advent. During this season, we prepare ourselves to celebrate the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We prepare not by looking to the past, which might seem intuitive. Instead, we prepare by looking to the future, to the hopeful expectation of Christ's second coming, his second advent. We don't hear scriptures about shepherds and wise men and a young couple traveling to Bethlehem because of a tyrant ruler. Instead, we hear scriptures like this text from Matthew.
not about a virgin being found with child, not about a cute little baby, not about shepherds or wise men, but about the grown-up Son of Man coming like a thief in the night, when the world is least expecting him. And if we're not careful, we might just miss him too. That first time that Jesus came into this world, we were all caught off guard. Yes, it's true that the prophets had foretold the coming of the Messiah, and yes, men and women had hoped and prayed that they would live long enough to see him. But when Jesus was born in Bethlehem on a starry night, only a few shepherds took notice. The Messiah arrived the same way all of us arrive into the world. He wasn't wielding a sword or riding a horse or commanding an army. The sun didn't stand still, though the angels did sing. He came in the quiet darkness of night. The old hymn puts it like this: how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessing of his heaven. The word of God becomes flesh and dwells among us. It's in the everyday miracle of a baby's birth that God himself becomes one of us in order to live with us, to live with God's people, and in time to redeem us. A whole lot of people missed this miracle the first time around, and there are a fair number of people who are still missing it today. Sometimes we all miss it. Then and now, we are sometimes so busy looking for something that we will probably never find. We are looking for power and might to change the world. But God chooses to do something very differently. God chooses a young virgin and a baby, a manger and a cross. 2,000 years ago, give or take, Jesus didn't really fit into the world's expectation of what a Messiah should be. And in many ways, Jesus still doesn't really fit into our expectations. He tells us to love one another, to turn the other cheek, to pray for our enemies, to sell everything we own and give all of our money to the poor. He invites us to put all of our faith and trust in him in order to be saved, and to surrender ourselves to his care. He bids us to take up a cross and to follow him, to lose our own lives in order to be found in him. In a world where everyone wants to be the master of his or her own destiny, Jesus calls us to a life of faith and obedience in order to be ready for his return. The promise of Christ's return fills us alternately, I think, with hope and dread, with longing and fear, because we are comfortable, many of us are comfortable for the most part in this world. We have warm places to live and food in our kitchens. We have jobs or pensions. We are comfortable in this world. And yet every Sunday we pray an incredibly radical prayer. We pray, "Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come." We pray for God's kingdom to come on earth, but do we really mean it? Do we really understand And if we did understand, how many of us would be tempted to add under our breath, but not just yet? Christ's return is on God's schedule. He is coming whether we are ready or whether we are not ready. Listen to what Jesus says about his own return. For as the days of Noah were, the days before the flood, when Noah was building the ark and everybody was scoffing at him, for as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing. They just continued on blissfully ignorant until the flood came and swept them all away.
Wow, thanks, Jesus. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man, he says.
There will be two in a field, and one will be taken, and one will be left, and two women will be grinding meal together, and one will be taken, and the other one will be left. Matthew reminds us that the God of the whole universe invades our everyday, mundane lives, and nothing is off limits to God. Eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage and working in the field and doing the laundry and watching the game. And what a game that was yesterday. It will be just like the time of Noah. People were going about their business, their usual business, and suddenly, seemingly without any warning, the floods came and washed everything away.
And so it will be when the Son of Man returns, Jesus says.
God's timing isn't dependent on us being ready or having our collective acts together as God's people. That would be a long wait indeed. It's kind of like Christmas in a way. We try our best to be ready, right? We try our best to be ready, but December 25th comes whether we are ready or not, whether the tree is decorated or not, whether the gifts are wrapped or not, whether the cookies are baked or not. As always, my standing offer to try any of your Christmas cookies is offered once again this year. Christmas comes whether the cards are mailed or not. Therefore, keep awake. Be prepared. Christ is coming at an unexpected hour. So how could we be prepared? How can we be alert? Because perhaps we get a little distracted this time of year, and not for good reason, right? It's a fun season with parties and decorations and special foods and memories that come flooding back of Christmases past. And who doesn't love a good celebration? So perhaps being prepared isn't as complicated as we thought it was. Perhaps it's as simple as remembering that God is always at work in our lives and in the life of the world. That's what incarnation is all about. God has come to live with us. Even in the daily grind, we find God blessing us in totally unexpected ways. Perhaps staying alert is as simple as remembering that Jesus came into the world to save us by his death and resurrection. Sometimes our focus shifts and we forget that we don't always have to get our acts together. Jesus does that for us. I don't have to be perfect for God to like me or love me or save me. God does it because he loves me. Jesus does this for us. Accepting this gift in faith, it will change your life. Perhaps keeping awake is as simple and as complicated as remembering that it is always the right time to do the right thing. Jesus, you see, he doesn't give us a deadline to meet. He simply tells us to be ready. And perhaps being ready is as simple as walking in light and peace. Come, says Isaiah, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. There is always a lot of talk about light and peace this time of year. I was listening to the radio coming home the other day from Ohio, and in the mountains it kind of fades in and out, but I was getting a strong signal and I heard a program where people were talking about how this is such a wonderful time of year, how people seem to be nicer and gentler and kinder. I guess that's except for Black Friday. And how it's such a pity that we can't live this way all year long. This sort of light and peace idea. But why can't we? Why can't we live in this idea of light and peace all year round? It's hard, though. I get that. We hear on the news, on TV, and in the newspaper, we read about wars and fighting that continues to rage around the globe. We hear about people who are hungry and struggling. We know that the world is not as it should be. But what if we were to remember? What if we were to remember that peace begins with each and every one of us? That it begins at the lowest level and works its way up. What if we choose to remember to live our lives in peace? What if we remember to be beacons of light in a dark world, to let Christ's light shine through us? I'll freely admit that there are times when the world's problems just seem completely overwhelming, and I'm tempted to despair because one person cannot possibly change all the pain and the suffering and the war and the violence. But God doesn't call us to change the world. God is the one who is changing the world. God calls us to bring light and to bring peace to our own little part of the world. God calls us to bring light right where we are, to make peace with those around us. That's how the process begins and how it grows slowly, steadily, and with great patience. Perhaps these are the ways that we can be ready for the unexpected coming of Christ. Perhaps it has nothing to do with grandiose plans, but rather simple, everyday life lived in faith and obedience. I know that doesn't sound very glamorous, and it certainly isn't some earth-shattering revelation, except that it is. God, you see, comes to us not with the flash and bang that we might expect, riding on a horse, wielding a sword. God comes to us in the simple whimper of a baby. God comes to us quietly in the darkness of night. The stars shine and the world sleeps. And if we're not careful, we might just miss it. We gather at the Lord's table this morning, and as we gather at the table, we're reminded that Jesus takes simple, everyday things like bread and wine, everyday food, and he feeds us with the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation. Here at this table, we get a glimpse of the coming day the day that Isaiah describes when nations shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Here at this table, we are invited to watch and to wait, to prepare our hearts and our minds. Here we find strength to live in obedience to faith and to welcome our Lord Jesus when he returns to judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. So until that day comes, let us keep awake, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, you tell us that you are coming at an unexpected hour, and so we can't mark it in our calendars or put it in our date books. We can't schedule around it. Help us, Lord, to remember this. Help us to remember not to just schedule around you in our lives, but to put you first, to put our relationship with you as the most important thing, that we might know you better, that we might love you more, and serve you with joy and gladness of heart in this life and in the life to come. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Affirm what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. This morning we gather as God's people and we gather in prayer. Let us unite our hearts and minds together as we pray. Eternal God, you come to us. You come to us as a child in the night, in a small town in the middle of nowhere. You come to us to change us, to make us into new creations, that by faith we might find our salvation. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us in this time of preparation. Remind us that you have called us, that you have called us by name, that you have numbered the hairs on our head, that you know us, that you know us better than we know ourselves, and that you love us, that you love us with a love that is beyond our ability to comprehend, that you love us enough to empty yourself, to give up the glories of heaven, to come down here, to live among us, and to go to the cross for us. This is how much you love us, O God. So as we have been loved, O Lord, help us to love. As much as love has been poured into our hearts and into our lives, help us, O Lord, to pour some of that love out into this world, to pour it into the hearts and lives of others as we seek to serve you. Help us, O Lord, not to be greedy receptacles, but to be fountains of your mercy and your grace and your love. As we gather this day, O Lord, we gather reminded of all our blessings and looking forward to celebrating again. And in the meantime, Lord, keep us ever mindful that as you have come into this world once, you are coming again. And we do not know the day or the hour. So, Lord, help us to be prepared. Remind us that you are not something to be scheduled on a calendar, but that our relationship with you is living and breathing and active. It is just that, a relationship. And that it must be tended. In this time of preparation, help us to tend our relationship. Tend our relationship with you and our relationships with one another, that we might be people who live in light and in peace. Speak to us this day, O Lord, as we gather round your table. Tell us once again. Remind us once again in our hearts and in our minds of your great love, that we might not just know love, but that we might share love. We pray, O Lord, for all the concerns and joys, the fears, the longings, the hopes that are in our hearts and on our minds. We pray for our world and for all those who are suffering because of war and violence or hunger or sadness and sorrow. We pray for our own nation. We pray, Lord, for an end to enmity and strife and bitterness and anger, that we might be one people. We pray for our own community, for those here who are hungry or tired, those who are fearful, those who are longing. We pray and rejoice with those who sing in gratitude this day, O Lord. May we all know what it is to be grateful and to live lives of light and peace. We pray, O Lord, this day, trusting in your holy name. We pray, trusting and knowing that you hear our prayers, that you gather them up. We pray, O Lord, that you gather us up as well in your strong and loving arms. For we pray as Jesus taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We now have the opportunity to give back to God a portion of what God has given to us in this life as the ushers come forward. Pray together. Almighty God, you have done and are doing great things for us, and holy is your name. Bless all we offer you, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, that through us your grace and favor may be made known to all the world, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. Thank you. be seated. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and from north and south and sit together at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it. And then he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. It is not my table or your table or even the church's table. This is the Lord's table, and our faithful Savior invites those who trust in him and have been baptized to share in this feast, which is prepared for us. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy God, we praise you. Let the heavens be joyful and the earth be glad. We bless you for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people Israel, and for Jesus Christ, in whom your fullness dwells. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Guiding his children, he leads us. Visiting the sick, he heals us. Dying on the cross, he saves us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. Living with you, he prays for us. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. With thanksgiving, we take this bread and this cup and proclaim the death and resurrection of our Lord. Receive our sacrifice of praise, O God. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that this meal may be a communion in the body and blood of our Lord. Make us one with Christ and with all who share this feast. Unite us in faith. Encourage us with hope. Inspire us to love, that we may serve as your faithful disciples until we feast at your table in glory. We praise you, eternal God, through Christ, your word made flesh, and the holy and life-giving Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me." For every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. This morning, we invite you to come forward by the center aisle to receive the elements by intinction and to return to your seats by the side aisles. The gluten-free option is available by the baptismal font. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let the people come. Let us pray together. God, our hope, we give you thanks that you have given us this foretaste of the justice, righteousness, and peace of your promised new creation. Strengthen us with this heavenly food as we seek to serve your holy kingdom. Lead us to live in joyful expectation of the coming again in glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. ¶¶ into the world in peace, and have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, and help the suffering. Honor all people, love, and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now, and remain with you always. Amen.